Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
There's no shortage of online videos to teach you how to play Layla. Whether they'll make you the next Eric Clapton is another question. You're listening to Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and ahead today, we debate online music lessons. And later, singer and songwriter Raoul Midon tells us what he learned from artists like Stevie Wonder and Bill Withers. As long as humans have made music, they've taken lessons. But increasingly, the ritual of sitting beside a teacher and learning an instrument has given way to online alternatives, from instructional videos on YouTube to long-distance learning seminars from major conservatories to teachers who use Skype and online chats. Some say this makes learning more accessible and direct. Others say it lacks quality control and the ability to chart a student's progress. So today, we'll grade online music lessons. Do they pass or fail? It's this week's
Soundcheck Smackdown.
And joining us today is Jeff Mackerlane, a guitarist and songwriter who teaches students using Skype and has a series of online instructional videos that include 50 blues guitar licks you must know. And also with us, Edward Smaldone, the director of the Aaron Copland School of Music at Queens College and a composer. Ed, Jeff, thank you both for being here.
My pleasure.
To you, Edward, first, our question of the day, pass or fail on online music lessons?
It's one of those questions that doesn't have a definitive answer, I think.
Pushing you into a corner, Ed. Pass or fail?
Well, I think it passes, but marginally. I think there are a lot of limitations, but I think that there are things that you can learn. I'm a guitar player originally. I've been online. Sorry, Jeff, I've never seen any of your things. But every once in a while, I look for something and I say, oh, that's how you do that. So you can learn things, but I think there's a wide gulf between learning how to play the opening lick of Honky Tonk Woman and being able to perform the Hammerklavier Sonata.
Jeff, I mean, what do you see as the major benefit of teaching online?
Well, the instant access to information, of course, anywhere. I teach people in Australia, people who sought me out throwing my videos or things like that, which is really great for me, obviously, as a mm-hmm. for a living. But the wealth of information that's available.
So if Ed simply has to know how to play that opening lick to Honky Tonk Woman, he doesn't need to wait to schedule an appointment with you. He can just go online and get it right away.
Right, which I find often helps guitar lessons.
Yeah, but I already did that, and I got it for free. See,
right.
That's the thing.
Well, that's a different issue.
Well, that is a different issue. Right. I mean, and you know, when you go online, you can find lots of free stuff. You can also find lots of things, Jeff, that people like you are making a living at. What's the difference? I mean, why would we choose to pay for lessons that you can otherwise find on YouTube for free?
Well, I think there's a quality element that comes in there. The company I work for, fortunately, I'm not trying to push names or anything, is very high quality, and I'm very happy to be a part of that as opposed to me with a little camera in my living room, which I have a few of those things there to just kind of get the name out. But for me, it's been great because the quality is excellent. I have control over the content. It's what I wanted it to look like, you know.
But if your student is not sitting in the room with you,
yes.
I mean, talking about quality control, let's talk about the student's quality.
Right.
How can you really see, well, you know, you don't quite have the fingers hitting at the right angle or there's... Mm-hmm. I mean...
If you're talking about Skype, as opposed to obviously if it's on YouTube or something, I can't see what they're doing. But on Skype, you know, it's just like watching them on television. Like, I can see exactly what's going on. And I even ask them, is your hand at this angle? And they say, oh, no. And we work it out. Now, yes, I mean, nothing can replace me sitting in the room with you. I mean, that's clear.
Yeah,
you
know, I think we're going to agree on that.
Yeah.
Well, Ed, what is the problem with Skype and things that do allow a teacher to actually see in real time what the student's doing?
I was thinking about this just a couple of hours ago because I was at the Aaron Copland School of Music listening to guitar players play their annual evaluations. So I had a series of kids walk in the room, unpack their guitar, sit down and try to play this or that by Bach or Brouwer or whatever it was. And I was thinking, now, gee, you know, I've got somewhere to go. And I got to get into the city to be on this radio show. And I wonder if I could have done I wonder if how it would have worked if I had tried to do this over the internet instead of having to sit here in the room. What would be lost? For one thing, the students, maybe they could record their audition, and then I could go and view it at another time. Shifting the time you do things is a really big plus with online learning, because if I want it, whether it's reading a book or taking a lesson, I can do it any time of the day and night I want. It's much more controlled.
Sounds like there's a but coming here.
Yeah, there is, because I was thinking of the things that were going on in the room right at that moment, and there were things about the sound, nuances that would have changed if we were in a room that wasn't a large, sort of medium-sized classroom. It would have been different if we'd been on a stage, would have been different if we'd been in a large rehearsal space and so on.
Can you? Is there any substitute for the physical experience of sound in a room?
I don't think so. I think if you're a trumpet player, you need a big enough room to make your sound. If you're a singer, you need to know what it's. You can sound great in a little room, but when you get on a stage that's in a 400-seat recital hall, that's a big difference from filling up your living room. I mean, that's why Mama loves your singing in the shower and at the dining room table. But that doesn't mean you're ready for Carnegie Hall.
Jeff, the idea of, I mean, you teach guitar.
I
it's
do.
A small, intimate, I mean, mm-hmm. is it materially different coming through Skype speakers as opposed to being in your living room where you might otherwise be giving the lesson?
Yeah, certain things are certainly different. You know, I mean, he's playing in front of me. The nuance is not quite the same as it is on Skype. But the way I work around all that is most of the people have some sort of recording, and they send me recording, you know, GarageBand or something. I send them an MP3. They record over.
When you say GarageBand, you mean the program?
The program,
that
yeah.
Comes and, with Mac computers.
Yeah, and then they send me them playing, and I get a pretty good. We're talking electric guitar primarily here. Now you're talking about acoustic instruments, so there is a difference, and I think that's.
I'm nodding my head a lot to Jeff.
Isn't that right? So we're in agreement on a number of things, but for me, as a musician, you know, who studied, you know, went to Berkeley and all this kind of stuff. For me, the information was great that I got at Berkeley, but I was still in the room with one person next to me, and I can't think of a time where, you know, I watched my teacher and said, there was no discussion of tone. It was always about information. The tone for me was going to shows and seeing guys play and saying, I want to know how he does that. And then he's using a Marshall, he's using a Fender, or he's, you know, or what kind of piano that is. So for me, I think any serious musician is going to seek that out anyway. I think if you're talking about information, then it's sort of the same.
All right. We're talking about online music lessons, and there are many of them available, free or paid. Jeff Mackerlane, the guitarist and songwriter, teaches students using Skype, has a series of these online instructional videos. Edward Smaldone, the composer and director of the Aaron Copland School of Music at Queens College, not such a big fan of the online music experience. And listeners, we want to know what you think. Have you tried learning an instrument online? Do you find it pales in comparison to the in-person experience? You can call us at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck. And here is an example of what Jeff Mackerlane is all about. This is from his 50 Blues Guitar Licks You Must Know and Can Learn Online.
One of the coolest things about guitar, besides being the coolest instrument on the planet, is that you can slide a few notes together at once. We call them double stops. So let's check out this great lick. I'm sliding some thirds, and I'm using it in the key of G, and it's lick number 14. All right, here's an essential lick that I stole from Robin Ford, somewhere off of the Talk to Your Daughter record when I was in college. It's on a G7, and what's really great about it, you got some sliding thirds here. So I'm going to start off with like an E, and I got a C. I'm going to slide those two up to an F and a D. That's a kind of little tricky slide. You want to keep that, you have to spread your fingers a little further on that slide up to the higher notes. Back down. Now, great blues lick right here.
Okay. Lick number 14, you said, Jeff.
Yes.
What is that? So students have homework, they have assignments, they have numbers and things?
This is a downloadable thing. This is not my personal lessons. This is a company, True Fire, puts out my videos. And it's a lick video, which is, you know, great for guitar players. It gets you started into playing blues and so gets you into the vocabulary. And that particular thing... series, you don't go too deep into the theoretical aspect because you're doing 50 licks. It's more about, here's how you play this cool lick. And hopefully that inspires somebody to.
And you're numbering them as you go along. Yeah, so this is lick number 14.
There's notation that goes along with that, so people know, and there's background tracks, and so it really, it's been very well received because people can see how you do these things in slow motion. I explain them, and what you missed on that whole thing, of course, is the video,
visual. Yeah,
the
right.
visual. So
I remember as a young guitar player going to shows and watching guys and desperately trying to remember, okay, I hear that, I like that, I see his hands doing this, now I got to remember that and go home and try to recreate it. So, you know, a lot of self-taught musicians are on a kind of endless lesson their entire lives.
Do you remember PBS used to have a guitar instruction show?
Oh,
you know,
really?
It was like every Thursday afternoon after school or something. So the idea is not new.
Right.
Was it a bad idea back then and it's just gotten...
No, I don't think it's a terrible idea. I think that it really can't substitute for, especially, well, look, it also depends. If you're talking about getting kids excited, it's very good. It's very valuable because it gets kids interested. They want to try things. But what I have found, because I'm originally a guitar player, I've given private lessons, and I've had students who come to me having downloaded pages and pages of things off of, Tabs.com or whatever.
Yeah. Right, one of those places where you can get chords to songs and stuff.
And so you get that, and then you watch the YouTube, and then they come and they say, "Look, can I do this?" And they can sometimes find their fingers and get the right, but it doesn't build technique. It doesn't. You know, they haven't learned how to read music. Mm-hmm. They're not learning how to put one thing with another. It does. If it's motivating, I think it's got some value. It's not a complete substitute. I think we're in this kind of transitional phase where some people might think that we'll eventually get to the point where you won't need the guitar teacher anymore. And I don't think we'll ever get to that point. As a supplement, it could be valuable.
Well, I'm going to stack the deck against you a little bit here, Ed, because our first caller is Tony Trischka, the great banjo player, who I happen to know does a lot of banjo teaching online and presumably is going to be on Jeff's side of this debate. Hi, Tony.
Hi, John. How are you?
All right. So what's your experience been?
My experience has been very positive. Of course, there are great advantages to being in the room with your student, but I've got the Tony Trischka School of Banjo through a company called Artist Works out in California, and I've got 200 online lessons that are in discrete, small, like 5 to 6 minute bits, beginning to advanced. So you do one and conquer that and then go on from there with tablature. And then but the main thing is that people can send me videos of their playing the material in the school. And then I respond to that, and their submission and my response go up as a master class, which everyone can see. And I've done maybe 100 of these or 150 so far. So what's good about that is people can actually compare themselves to other people and they're not living in a bubble, let's say.
Right. What about how many students do you have online?
I've got in the neighborhood of 500 people right now.
Could you possibly have handled anything remotely close to that number if you were doing it in person?
No. And again, I've got people all around the world also, you know, people in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Europe, et cetera, et cetera.
What about Ed's points of, you know, are they learning technique? Are they learning to read music? You know, the kind of the basic fundamentals.
The sorts of things they can transfer to other musical experiences, not just the recreation of the particular lesson.
Right. Well, I deal with, you know, reading music, reading tablature, of course, which is specifically for the band, you know, and jamming and improvising and all that, really all aspects. And the other thing is it's an infinitely expandable format. I've got an interview... interviews with Steve Martin. I'm going to have Bela Flick on there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have guest instructors also. In fact, I've got a guy named Bob Carlin, who's a wonderful clawhammer banjo player. Mm-hmm. And he's got some lessons like in the guest zone. So I could just keep adding to this. I've got an interview with Bill Monroe, which is going to be going up soon, audio interview. So it's just this constantly expanding thing.
That's Tony Trischka on the line, the banjo player and online teacher. Ed, it comes back to a question, doesn't it, of access? You know, he's got 500 people learning to play the banjo. Most of those people would not have access to a player of his stature if it weren't for online.
I can't disagree with that. I've also been told that Pinchas Zukerman gives violin lessons online.
Sure.
So I guess there's certainly a high-end market for this. I wonder, I'd be interested to hear what the results are of all of those students.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's, I mean, we've got a number of calls on the line. Let's take one of them, and then, Jeff, I'll give you a chance to respond. But you may want to respond to Ed from Dobbs Ferry, because Ed tells us that he is a teacher himself. So, Ed, which side of the online music lesson debate are you on?
Well, I think it's a great – hello to everyone, first of all. But I think it's a great supplement, but I feel that there's nothing that replaces the rapport that you have with a teacher, the ability to sit alongside of him where he can see all the nuances that the student is doing and you can have that interaction, the personality. I mean, teaching, there's so much more to teaching than just giving somebody information. It's the ability to get it to that person, that student, in a way that they comprehend it, the way they can process it, and the way they can retain it. And those things are really hard to get across in a video format. And I think a lot of the video instructional teaching that you have online, as great as it is, I think you have to be at a certain level already in your playing to really process it and understand it and get it.
I liked your use. I liked your use, Ed, of the word supplement. You know that you don't mind the video lessons as the online lessons as a supplement. Jeff, what about when it is, you know, the way a kid is starting out on the guitar and it's going to be his or her main way of learning the instrument?
There's a few things. One, if you're talking about Skype lessons where I'm actually in real time, I don't see a huge difference between the lessons in person in terms of, you know, spreading across information. I actually find it to be more efficient because there's almost like a less of a social element, which I certainly get along great with the online students. And they've had no problems. They've had breakthroughs. It's, oh, that's how you do that. And so it's been great. In terms of supplements, yeah, of course. I mean, I used to watch all the guitar videos I could growing up and see what, you know, Eric Johnson was doing and things about tone and watch him play. And that's how I learned how to do a lot of things I want to.
But I mean, I didn't spend a lot of time watching guitar videos, but I did spend a lot of time on stage playing the guitar with people.
And there's no replacement for that.
There is no replacement for that. I also think there's a big difference between being a private instructor and having a student who just wants to learn how to play the guitar, let's say, or the violin or the trumpet, versus instrumental instruction as part of a university program. I teach at a college, and would we use online instruction to replace the private lessons with Daniel Phillips or Marcy Rosen or Maury Ritt? I don't think so.
But you do use online instruction.
Well, we use online instruction in a few very isolated areas. One of them is music appreciation, where it has some advantages. In a typical music appreciation class, the professor stands in front of the class, lectures for a while, plays a little example of something, plays a little something on the piano, gives them some information and some music, and then asks them to make some connections. Not everybody gets it. How many times do you need to listen to the first movement of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony before you get it? You might need more than that one time, and that takes up a lot of class time. On an online class, you can read. Then when you get to the spot, you press a button, and it plays. You need to hear it again? Play it 10 more times.
So there are some instances where you think online music lessons, maybe not for playing, but for things like you say, music appreciation. You're a composer. Couldn't you learn composing?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay. Just wanted to see how far you were willing to go there. Edward Smaldone is director of the Aaron Copland School of Music at Queens College. Jeff Mackerlane is a guitarist and songwriter with a series of online instructional videos. One of the questions is, there's a lot you can get online that will teach you to play, for example, Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. The question is, will they teach you to play it right?
All right, you guys, today I'm going to show you how to play Don't Stop Believing by Journey. So I'll play the song first and then show you how. So first off, you're going to start here at middle C. And your right hand's going to be playing B, E, and G sharp. And it's going to be played like this. These two first, and then B. Two, three, four.
Is that a play Don't Stop Believing intro? And that's pretty much it.
Hey everybody, this is how to play Midnight Train by Journey, or also known as Don't Stop Believing, or it's got a million other little titles for it. It's really simple. The right hand is just going to be rotating between E and B playing together, and B, like this. So, once again.
So, if you want to learn how to play Don't Stop Believin' by Journey, I suppose you could listen to any of those three, but you probably wouldn't want to listen to all three of them. Three very different ways of approaching the song through these online music lessons. Here's a little bit of the real thing. When we come back from a break, more of your calls and comments as our Soundcheck Smackdown continues as we debate online music lessons. Coming up in just a little bit, live music from jazz and flamenco songwriter Raul Midon. Live performance from him coming up on Soundcheck.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
Even when I mirrored with my fingers what the guitarist on TV did, I got a nasty sound. And then it occurred to me, I mirrored with my fingers what the guitarist on TV did. I was playing left-handed. Clearly, I was not going to learn guitar via television.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This Australian guitarist named Justin Sanderko might just be the world's most popular guitar teacher. He's been uploading free online tutorials for beginners on YouTube, and his lessons have been viewed more than 60 million times in the past 4 years. We are debating online music lessons, pass or fail. It's our weekly Soundcheck Smackdown. Jeff Mackerlane is a guitarist and songwriter who teaches students using Skype and has a series of online instructional videos, including the 50 Blues Guitar Licks You Must Know. And also with us is Edward Smaldone, composer and director of the Aaron Copland School of Music at Queen's College. And we have a number of comments on the Soundcheck page, and our producer, Joel Meyer, as he is wont to do, has been combing through them. What you got, Joel?
John, lots of good comments and lots of good phone calls coming into the control room here at Soundcheck. KP puts this, gives us some perspective, I guess you could say. KP writes, I teach college, but not music, and I've been told for years that I'm going to be replaced by distance learning over the internet. So far, it hasn't happened. While some people can sit in front of a computer and learn in a self-directed fashion, most of us are social creatures and prefer to interact with another human. Philip from Brooklyn brings up the camera issue, which has dogged video instruction even before the internet. Philip writes, "Online, the best tutorials have a camera well positioned to see the instrument exactly as you, the player, can." That's a nice answer to an old problem for an in-person lesson format. And I really like this comment from Gilbert from Colorado. He sort of issues an ultimatum. Gilbert writes, "I've taken guitar lessons for about 6 months, and since then I've learned via the internet. You can see a real-life instructor once a week, and you have to run your schedule around it. But it's really great. Otherwise, I would be without music lessons." I think it's an interesting point that Gilbert brings up. If they didn't have online video lessons, they might be not learning music at all.
This goes back to the question, Edward, we were talking about before of access. You know, does it beat nothing?
I think it does beat nothing. It also changes the way you access, because if you're going to take that online music appreciation course, for example, you can do it any time of the day and night that you're available, and that can be a terrific plus for some people. But you do miss the social interaction, the discussions, the questions, and follow-up in real time with the professor.
Now, Jeff, the comment from the teacher, you know, they're always saying they're going to replace me with long-distance learning and stuff. The word self-directed, yes, there are people who are self-directed, self-motivating. They can learn from a computer. They can learn from Skype. They can learn from online. But, you know, isn't there another kind of person for whom that is just not going to work?
Yeah, sure, of course. You know, but it's for the person that it does work for, it works fantastically. I don't think, not everybody can be a good musician. It's just, that's just the simple thing about it. And when you're talking about got discussions with people. The way I look at it and the way I teach people is like, okay, we've worked on this. Now find a local jam, go out and play with people. All this is useless unless you start using it. And there's no – I can't teach that in a guitar lesson in person or not.
This is true. And there's also – there's an economic factor. I mean, if you can download six free lessons and pay a small fee to get a couple of others, that might actually be more cost effective than spending $100 on a lesson where the guy comes to your house and sits with you.
I think we're talking about some different things at times too. Like, you know, people who want to learn how to play guitar for fun or
– That's right.
Look, I studied it. Went to Berklee College of Music, and so I had a formal education, different from a classical education. So you're still talking about the differences. Like, I can't speak to a traditional classical music education, but for a jazz education that I had, I don't see a huge difference because all my teachers basically, I remember the first year, you're like, well, the fact that you're learning jazz in a college is ridiculous, but that being said, let's start talking about jazz.
All right, let's take a call from Josh. He's in Westchester County. And Josh, I understand you're a drummer.
Hi, fellas. Great show.
Thanks. Have you used online, you know, drum lessons or anything like that?
Well, I guess I have and I haven't. I'm not a professional player, but I am almost 50 years old, and I've been playing since grade school. So I've played in, you know, countless little groups and gigs, and I've done all kinds of stuff. Now, you know, when I took lessons from an instructor, absolutely. The one-on-one relationship that I got from an instructor could not be replaced, I don't see, in any other way. Besides just teaching me the mechanics of the instrument, he would go on and talk to me just about, you know, how to conduct yourself at gigs and how to put that kind of thing together. And he taught me more about groove that I think you can only get from, you know, sitting next to someone who you respect and has experience. That being said, there's no way. I mean, look, I stayed up all night trying to get something from, you know, Don Kirshner's rock concert on Friday night. And that now, to be able to watch film footage of Jack DeJohnette or John Bonham or countless other great guys right there, footage that I never, ever would have had the opportunity to see when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. Just if you were just studying a hand position or mechanics of the instrument and stuff like that, the wealth of that information that's out there, and so then all these sites are followed up by.
So it sounds like, to come back to a word that was used before, it sounds like for you it's a great supplement to the personal touch that you've had as a drummer over the years.
It fills in a lot of technical gaps that you otherwise, I think, would have to wait a long time.
Good
to
stuff.
See.
Josh, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
We'll leave it there. Edward Smaldone has been with us, director of the Aaron Copland School of Music at Queens College and composer. Jeff McElhane, the guitarist and songwriter who teaches using Skype and through a series of online instructional videos. And to the two of you, thanks so much for being with us for our SmackDown this week.
Heard him ringing.
Still to come, guitarist Raul Midon talks about his transition from session singer to singer-songwriter and plays live in our studio as we continue with Soundcheck.
But I must insist it's true.